are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Friday edition of the show. It is a Fan Friday. It is a mailbag show. We've got some injury report stuff to get to, some good news, some bad news there. I want to talk a little bit about that Thursday night football game where the Rams just went ape at Jared Goff throwing five touchdown passes. Scary for some 49ers fans. I think we got to talk a little bit about that showing on Thursday night football in the 4-0 Rams, now with a commanding lead in the NFC West. And of course, get to the mailbag. I asked the question, how have you recalibrated expectations following the loss of Jimmy G? So we got some tweets to get to. We've got some emails to get to, all of that on this episode of Locked On 49ers. Don't forget to tell a friend about the show. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, everywhere you can find podcasts. You can find Locked On 49ers and all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email me at LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And of course, go to LockedOn49ers.com to find all the streams of the podcast, where to subscribe, articles from myself, Chris Wilson, and John Chick going up there all the time at LockedOn49ers.com. The latest there is an article that really makes you think from Chris Wilson that talks about Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan and what was wrong in the first 3 weeks with the 49ers offense. And of course, now that shifts to C.J. Beathard. So we'll see if maybe things can even get a little bit righted with the 49ers offense with the second-year quarterback. That's interesting. Okay, we're going to get to a lot about C.J. Beathard and some of those things in the mailbag. I want to start with the Thursday night football game. Let's just go there first because the Rams beat the Vikings 38-31 on Thursday night. Jared Goff throwing for five touchdown passes. The Rams improved to 4-0. They lead the NFC West and are close to being able to run away with the division at this point. And I think that showing offensively for them had to be frightening for some 49ers fans to watch, seeing Jared Goff coming into his own. He's breaking out in his third season, his second year under Sean McVay, which I think is really important. And I talked about it a little bit on Twitter Thursday night after the game. Carson Wentz broke out in his age 25 season. It was his second year under a good offensive coach, his second year in the league. He was a fifth-year senior, so a little bit older prospect coming out compared to Goff, who was a true junior coming out of Cal, so he was 2 years younger, even though they're in the same draft class. Jared Goff's still only 24 right now, and he's in his second year under a good offensive coach. Obviously, he had what was mostly a lost rookie season with a bad coaching staff, and the Jeff Fisher years is probably forgettable for Jared Goff, but now his second year under McVay really taking off. He looked okay last year. But this is a true breakout season right now for Jared Goff that we're seeing. And Goff is full 2 years younger. And then you think about other debates when it comes to quarterbacks and the rookies this year. Baker Mayfield, again, fifth-year senior. He walked on. He had a redshirt year, Texas Tech, and then ended up at he might have missed 2 years, plus he was a senior. So was he a sixth-year senior? Because he had to miss a year for transfer, maybe he didn't redshirt, I don't know, but he had to have a transfer year when he went from Texas Tech to Oklahoma. So, you know, an older prospect, again, a fully grown man, I think can be the difference when you're 23 and a rookie, 24 and a rookie versus when you're 20, 21 as a rookie. That's a huge difference. And so when it comes to Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold debates, and it's going to be probably one of the hot debates, just like Wentz and Goff has been for a few years now, just remember, Mayfield's 2 years older, and Darnold was a redshirt sophomore coming out. So it might take Darnold a little bit longer to develop. And, of course, coaching is a massive factor in all of this. Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen, those guys were all in their third years, either redshirt sophomore or true juniors. And so just imagine Goff. Imagine Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen. Imagine those quarterbacks playing two more years of college football, how much better they would have looked as prospects, how much more fully formed men they would have been coming out at age 23 instead of age 21. So it's just something to think about when it comes to development of quarterbacks and, of course, the coaching staff thing too. And then someone asked me about C.J. Beathard. They're like, how old is C.J. Beathard? C.J. Beathard's going to be 25. He's also an older prospect. He was a really old prospect, actually, coming out as a fifth-year senior out of Iowa. And he's going to be 25 already in November. So he's older than even Jared Goff, who was in the draft class before him. But, you know, a good point to remember, C.J. Beathard's second year under a good offensive coach. So maybe this is the C.J. Beathard breakout. We'll see how C.J. looks on Sunday and going forward this season. And it's pretty clear it's going to be the C.J. Beathard show for the 49ers. They're not bringing in someone to start over C.J. Beathard. So he's going to have to collapse or get hurt to not be the starter the rest of the way for the 49ers in 2018. Another bit of news that came down Thursday, and some pretty big news considering former 49ers safety Eric Reed had gone so long unsigned, it seemed like he was not going to sign with a team this season. But he has inked a one-year contract with the Carolina Panthers worth up to $1.9 million. I think it's a $1 million base with incentives. And according to Matt Barrows of The Athletic, the 49ers had offered Reed a one-year deal both in the offseason and this week. But the 2013 Pro Bowl safety decided his best opportunity was in Carolina, and that makes sense, especially after, you know, he might have even thought about the Garoppolo injury and thinking, okay, the 49ers season might be a rough going forward here. Tart, if he's healthy again, might be the starter over me. He's got a clear path to be a starter for the Carolina Panthers. So he chose Carolina, and it makes sense. I think it's a good move for Eric Reed. Happy for him. It's nice to see him sign somewhere. He played 4 years with the Niners, obviously, came out 2013, and he's still only, I think, 26 years old. He was really young for his draft class. Might have been one of the youngest guys in the entire draft class in 2013. And he had filed that collusion lawsuit, which was another hurdle, I think, for NFL teams. And it seemed like maybe that was something that once he did that, he would definitely not be signed and would continue to go unsigned. But Carolina Panthers made the call. They signed him. $1.9 million is what he could potentially make in 2018 for the Panthers. Remember, Eric Reed was the first player to kneel along with Colin Kaepernick, and Colin Kaepernick shouted him out on Twitter talking about the respect that he had for Eric Reed and congratulating him on getting signed. And I wonder if the Eric Reed signing and maybe teams, I think a lot of with Kaepernick and Eric Reed, teams, even if they wanted to bring the player in and didn't care about any of the other stuff, they don't want the media circus and all the questions. So I wonder if, like, once Eric Reed signed, and then people are like, hey, Eric Reed signed. Okay, that's it. And so I wonder if that goes super smoothly and really nobody pays that much attention and cares that much. I wonder if teams might look at Kaepernick that need a quarterback and think, yeah, this, you know what, this isn't actually even a big deal anymore. What are we doing? Let's sign this quarterback that's better than some of the guys we have on our roster. So that'll be interesting to see going forward if the signing of Eric Reed actually helps Cap in some way. All right, let's get to this injury report, and then we'll hit that mailbag. Great news, I think, for the 49ers on the injury report when it comes to Matt Breida, who was tied for the league lead in rushing through 3 weeks, and the 49ers would love to have him ready to go on Sunday. He hyperextended his knee last Sunday, and he had been limited in practice, but he was a full participant in practice on Thursday, which really is good news and paves the way for him to be the starter and play and be full go on Sunday. Also fully participating in practice, Akilah Witherspoon, who's dealing with an ankle and hip injury. Marquise Goodwin's got the quad injury, but, you know, I think it was expected that he would play. Limited in practice were Adrian Colbert with a hip. I believe he did not practice Wednesday, so that's a better situation. Now just limited is Adrian Colbert. Mike Person limited in practice as well with the knee injury, and Alfred Morris actually was limited in practice. And then those who did not practice at all, Joshua Garnett, dislocated toe, still dealing with that. He probably will not play. Cornerback Richard Sherman, he's definitely going to be out for a couple of weeks. And then Jaquaski Tartt still not practicing with his shoulder injury. So that is the injury report from Thursday's practices in Santa Clara. And I think the big thing to take away from that is Matt Breida is ready to go and start on Sunday at the Los Angeles Chargers. All right, after this break, we'll get to that mailbag. A quick reminder that fantasy football is underway, and we have two fantasy football shows to help you. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you all the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news. Locked On Fantasy Football is now Locked On Fantasy Football Experts with amazing guests every day, like Monday, Tom Kucinich, Tuesdays, Eric Edholm, Wednesdays, Jeff Ratliff, and Tyler Lochner, all on the Locked On Podcast Network. Let's kick it off with some emails and start with our guy, Shano. He said, what are your thoughts on trading Garcon to a wide receiver needy team midseason to let Richie James get his shot? Why do you think He has not played yet. I had a couple other Richie James questions on Twitter. And you guys all know I really like Richie James, and I can't wait to see him out there. I think he's going to be a playmaker that the 49ers need. And I would actually suit him up over some other players. You know, nobody's really hurt. If Marquise Goodwin is ready to go, and it looks like he is on Sunday, there's just too many wide receivers, and you can't have them all active. I personally would probably activate Richie James over Kendrick Bourne, because I just think he's a little bit more of a playmaker. I think he's got some things. He's got some more juice, and I think the 49ers could really use that. And I would probably have him back returning kicks rather than DJ Reed, although DJ Reed's pretty good doing that too. I just want to see Richie James on the field and get the ball in his hands, because I think he can help the 49ers and possibly make some big plays. But as of now, I got to believe he's going to be inactive until the 49ers really are forced to do that or maybe make a move. I'd be surprised if Pierre Garçon gets traded, just because he's got a big salary connected to him. And he hasn't looked great so far this year. You know, he hasn't been a world beater. He hasn't looked terrible or anything like that. But unless a team has a big injury, I just don't see it matching up right now. But it could potentially happen later in the year. Someone has some big injuries. And it's just tough, too, because a wide receiver needs to know the offense. And to bring a guy in midseason, it's a little bit more difficult. And plus with his salary that's attached to him, Garçon might be a pretty tough person to trade for the 49ers. So I don't really envision that happening, but someone's going to get hurt and Richie James is going to get his shot and he's going to play. And who knows when that's going to happen, sooner or later, but I'm excited to see Richie James get out there and play for the 49ers. To Kevin via email, he said, what is the scenario for us to get Nick Bosa and Greedy Williams in the 2019 draft? I know it's too early to talk draft, but let's face the facts. Jimmy is not coming back this year. Kevin doesn't have a lot of hopes for this year. He's already talking draft prior to week four. You know me, I love talking draft. Nick Bosa is a stud. He's going to be maybe the first non-quarterback drafted in 2019. Greedy Williams, if those of you who don't know, he is a cornerback, a long athletic corner. Looks like he's going to be the first cornerback, or at least one of the top cornerback prospects this year. There's so much time between now and the draft, and guys rise and guys fall. Maybe Bosa or Greedy Williams has a bad workout. Maybe they don't come out of the draft. There's a lot of things that can happen between now and then. As it stands now, those guys both look like top 10 picks, so it'd be pretty much impossible for the 49ers to pull that off unless there was another team with two picks that wanted to move up, and the 49ers, say, had the first pick or the second pick, they wanted to move up for a quarterback. 49ers were able to move back and get a couple guys. That's the only scenario I could really see of them picking up two blue chippers that are going to go at the top half of the 2019 NFL draft. Let's check in with Juan via email. He said, hey, Brian, at what point do you think Saleh would be considered to be on the hot seat? The defense has been looking atrocious. Yeah, the defense could be looking better. I agree. He does some curious things like having nose tackles drop back into coverage that are a little bit frustrating to watch. It's hard because he has to mask the fact that they don't have a true edge rusher. And that hurts. That's difficult. I think that's one of the biggest things we've seen from them not being able to get off the field on third downs, is they haven't been able to get after the quarterback enough. And they've been very good against the run. It's that third down defense that's really been killing them. So the secondary, which has been banged up, that's a big problem. And then not having a good enough pass rush, especially coming off the edge. And those two things aren't necessarily Robert Saleh's fault. And I think most people were super excited about Robert Saleh and watching his defense. And it was a huge upgrade. And he was a huge upgrade as a defensive coordinator over the past defensive coordinator, Jim O'Neill. So I think slow down on the hot seat stuff. And I would say right now he's not on the hot seat, but if they continue to look bad or even get worse as the season goes on, even when they get their guys back and get like Richard Sherman back and stuff, it's fair. It's fair to talk about any of these guys' jobs. You know, that's just the reality of the NFL. If you don't perform, they might be looking to replace you right now. I would say no, Robert Saleh is not on the hot seat. Let's go to Tyrone via Twitter. He said, what's up, BP? Do you think it's more disrespectful to Cap or the 49ers fans that Lynch and Shanahan haven't reached out to Cap? Clearly better than who we have as backups and whoever is going to try to fill in for Jimmy G. Can't we just give him a call? I don't know. Kyle Shanahan's talked about that. He said he doesn't like the scheme fit. He said they had talked about Cap and it's not a scheme fit, so they're not going to go for it. And I don't know. That's his answer. So they're definitely not going to do it. I don't know if that's disrespectful. Kaepernick is better than current quarterbacks that have jobs in the NFL. I think that's clear. So, definitely cap is being disrespected to a point. I don't know if it's necessarily the 49ers that are the team that should necessarily be giving him the job right now. But if your argument to me was that scheme be damned, Colin Kaepernick's a better quarterback than C.J. Beathard, I don't know if I can argue with that. All right, one more email I want to get to here. This is from a French fan in Switzerland. I like that. I don't know if I've had any correspondence with French fans or those in Switzerland, and especially not a French fan in Switzerland. So this is Dennis. Thank you for the email. He said, I'm listening to you daily since I discovered your show last year and would not miss one episode no matter what. That's awesome to hear. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. His question, our 49ers are plagued by injuries for two seasons now, and a lot of these injuries did not occur after a big hit. Worst, a lot occurred without any contact. Is there an issue in the way the staff is preparing the team for the season? Thank you for the email, Dennis. That's something that's beyond my, the strength and conditioning. I don't even know how to evaluate that. And I think it's hard because for a fan of the team that you're watching, it feels like your team has a lot of injuries, but man, there's injuries across the league. It's crazy. I just saw a stat today. There's 36 ACL injuries right now in the NFL. 36 players are out for the year with ACL injuries. Like 9 of those have happened since week one, and the rest happened in the offseason before even getting to the regular season. So it's not the 49ers. They're not the only team that has lost players. They lost a big one, which hurts. But there's been a ton of injuries around the league. I don't know if maybe there's something that they could do to be better, but I just can't even answer that question. It's hard to point to that. It's hard to point to an injury. Like, what could you do to keep someone who's just planting in the grass from tearing their ACL? I mean, I could see maybe if it was like a hamstring thing or if guys were pushed too hard in practice and they were, but that's not what this is. I have no idea. I think the bigger factor is probably the turf. And I'm a little bit worried because right now Levi's Stadium is setting up for, I think, a big Beyonce concert, and they're ripping out the turf. They'll have to re-turf it. That's what happened on Sunday. Kansas City Taylor Swift concert, they had to resurface it, and they had new turf on the field. You saw Matt Breida hyperextend his leg. I thought he had a bad knee injury. He was able to come back, and he's still hurting from that a little bit. And then Jimmy Garoppolo, non-contact, just tries to cut and tears his ACL on that turf. So I would say turf has a bigger factor than the strength and conditioning staff. Okay, we got to get to some Twitter questions here. And I asked the question, how have you recalibrated expectations following the loss of Jimmy G? And I got a bunch of different responses, so I'm excited to get to those. And I do want to remind you listeners that the College Network on the Locked On Podcast Network has launched. We've got Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we already had, those are the newest shows, we already had Locked On Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, the Crimson Tide, Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, Cougars. Find your favorite college show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Okay, I'm just going to hit these in order on the Twitter mailbag, and we'll see how many of these I can get to. Let's start with Michael. He said, I have tickets to the Niners at Bucks game. Didn't think I'd be watching Fitzmagic battling Beathard. Question, is it too early to buy a Fred Warner jersey? Stoked on his contributions. Now, that's a great point. I think you could have gotten some good money betting that it was going to be Fitzpatrick going against C.J. Beathard in that Niners at Bucks game. And the Bucks all of a sudden look a lot better than the Niners. I know both me and Winkler, when we went through the schedule, had a W penciled in for that week for the 49ers. And so a lot of that now up in the air. It's going to be interesting to see how Beathard looks and see what this team does and see if they rebound from the loss of Jimmy Garoppolo. I have a feeling they might rally a little bit, which it's still exciting. It's a new opportunity, I think, for the 49ers. So don't completely get down that Jimmy Garoppolo is out. It's not a lost season. I think there was a mourning period, and I get that. It is not a lost season. There's a lot of guys playing for their future, a lot of development that needs to happen on this roster, and C.J. Beathard, too. If he continues to develop, being either a very valuable backup, maybe valuable to another team in trade, or you find out he's not the guy, and you know you can move on knowing that. And so there's some things to gain from this season for the 49ers. But to Michael's question, is it too early to buy a Fred Warner jersey? I would say yes and no. I would say it's not too early to buy a Fred Warner jersey unless he changes that weird-looking number 48, and he might come back for his sophomore season and have a different number in the 50s, which would be more befitting for a linebacker. I still can't get used to his jersey number. That would be the only reason not to buy one. Otherwise, I think you're okay buying a Fred Warner jersey. But remember, my rule when it comes to jerseys. If you really want to spend money on a jersey and feel good about it, buy the jersey of a guy whose legacy is cemented, someone who's retired. You know that when you buy this jersey, that you know what that means and you know what this guy's legacy is. You know, buy a Ronnie Lott jersey, buy a Roger Craig jersey, buy a Dwight Clark jersey, a Jerry Rice jersey, a Patrick Willis jersey, a Joe Staley jersey. Frank Gore. I mean, those kind of things are warming. You're like, you feel good. You know you're going to be able to feel good about wearing that thing now and in 10 years. Fred Warner, there's a lot of ways that can go, but I think you'd be all right buying a Fred Warner jersey. Let's go to Drew. He said his recalibration is to a 5-11 record for the 49ers. So it'd actually be a game worse than last year. He said, better get an edge rusher, a playmaking wide receiver, a strong safety, and a cornerback. Yeah, when you start losing games, more needs start to pop up, right? I think 49ers fans were really excited about the receiving core, about the secondary, about the safeties. And then when you see it on the field and you think, oh man, you know what? You could really use more skill position talent, more matchup proof, just stud receivers, stud athletes on the offensive side of the ball. You know, the safety's being dinged up all the time. What's going on at right corner? Witherspoon, is he going to be that guy or is he not? Did he look bad because he's got a bum ankle, or is it because he's not developing at the pace that you thought he could? And I talked about it coming into the season this year about how it was a little bit worrisome that the 49ers were expecting, and especially 49ers fans were expecting, career years from so many people across the team. Let's see. Pierre Garçon, Joe Staley, no. Richard Sherman, no. I think those are the only three players on the entire roster that were like, okay, they're probably not going to have the best year in their career this year. But everybody else, Garoppolo, 4/5 of the offensive line, most of the receiving core, the entire secondary of young players, the whole defensive line, all the linebackers, everybody on the 49ers team practically were penciled in to have these career years and the best they've ever been. So someone had to falter. And I think we're seeing some of that. And then, so now you have to, that's kind of the word of the day is recalibration, recalibrate your thoughts on the roster, see where you can get better. And so you knew everyone wasn't going to be amazing, but I think there's a few more holes, I think, than people expected coming in. And when you lose some games and you lose a quarterback, I think some of those are going to present themselves even more going forward. Let's go to CeeLo. He said, what is Saleh doing with the D-line rotation? DJ Jones and Earl Mitchell getting too many snaps in obvious pass situations. Malcolm Smith rushing from Leo position as well. Please make sense of this to me. Yeah, you know what? Part of it is what he has to use. Like, he doesn't have edge guys. So who are you going to put out there? DJ Jones and Earl Mitchell rushing. Yeah, they shouldn't be on the field on passing downs. I agree. Malcolm Smith, it's just one of those things. It's like, okay, Robert Saleh talked about it. He wanted to get his best 11 on the field. I think he fully believes Malcolm Smith is one of those. We've only seen him in one game so far, so it's hard. Maybe he's going to get better. It's just, they're undermanned. They're a little bit dinged up. I think those are the two biggest problems. If you had a stud edge guy, you'd put him in there, right? And I just, they don't have that right now. And I can't really help make sense of that to you any more than that, CeeLo. I apologize. Let's go to Ethan on Twitter. He said, if CJ takes a big step for us, we squeeze into a wild card spot. Is there a quarterback controversy next year? Ooh, that's a good question. He said, if so, what will Lynch and Shanahan do? Big ifs, I know. I kind of joked with Winkler on Tuesday's show about if CJ Beathard plays so well that you trade Garoppolo. I don't think there's any chance there's a quarterback competition next year. Even if CJ does great things, the better CJ does, the more likely he's not around, probably. Right? Because even if he's bad, he's going to at least compete for a backup spot next year for the 49ers. They're not just going to cut him. But if he plays great, maybe a team comes calling and the 49ers are forced to trade him because they know they got Jimmy coming back and Jimmy Garoppolo is their guy. It would be near impossibility for CJ Beathard to play so well that you would entertain the idea that he's actually the starter for the 49ers going forward and they move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's go to Thomas on Twitter. Did you or Winkler experience the five stages of grief when Jimmy got hurt? If so, what stage are you on? I'm finally at acceptance. Okay. Yeah, I think it was really hard. Some people reached out to me on Twitter. They're like, I can't even listen to the podcast because I'm so bummed out about the Jimmy Garoppolo injury. I didn't go through any grief stages. I went through just one stage, and it was the oh shit stage, basically. Apologies to the young listeners out there. I know there's some folks that listen with their children. Try not to drop too many S-bombs and F-bombs on the show here. But that was my one stage of the Jimmy Garoppolo injury. It was like, oh, damn. Okay. And I was like, oh, man, my podcast number is going to go. People are going to stop listening to the podcast if the team goes in the tank. But then I realized, you know what? People are out there listening 4 or 5 days a week in the dead of the off season. Yeah, they can't. You guys can't quit the podcast, right? Please tweet at me and confirm that for me, please. Thank you. I can sleep better. Let's go to Gage on Twitter. How many first round picks will CJ be worth by the end of the season? Hashtag Nick Foles too. He will be. I'm going to predict that CJ Beathard will be worth 0 first-round picks at the end of the year. In fact, I think the 49ers probably wouldn't be able to get the third rounder back that they spent on him. But that just goes by my evaluation of CJ Beathard, and I haven't seen him in game action since his rookie year, which was obviously somewhat rough. But if he shows something and has value, basically that's kind of the thing. So he would have to play so well that his value would be somewhere around that mid-round day two value, and the 49ers would trade him at that point. But first round pick, oof, he would have to go nuts. And I just don't envision that, but it's possible. To Jeremy on Twitter, who are 5 players this season that have disappointed you the most and the 5 players that have impressed you the most? I would say both safeties, Tart and Colbert, have been fairly disappointing. I think Solomon Thomas and it's part of the usage with Solomon Thomas too. I want to see him in that interior rusher role on third down more to really fully evaluate him, because I think that's where he should be. So it's hard to put him there because he hasn't had the opportunity to shine the way I think he could. But his development overall, you know, if you're only playing about 50% of the snaps or less and you're the number 3 overall pick, I mean, that's got to be pretty disappointing. Pierre Garçon, I thought he'd show up as a little bit more of a true number 1 receiver for Garoppolo and the 49ers. Maybe that'll change now that CJ Beathard is in there. So that's been a little bit of a disappointment. And I guess, you know, Witherspoon too. I want to see him healthy before I fully evaluate that. But from what we've seen so far, Witherspoon's been a little bit rough out there at the right cornerback spot. And I thought he had a really bright future. And I still think he does have a bright future and he'll be that starter. But that bad ankle, I think, hurts. And then when he starts getting targeted because Richard Sherman's on the other side, I think those things all came together, got a little panicky. And I think he'll be back and be pretty good at right cornerback once Richard Sherman's back and he's healthy. I think that'll all come together. But those are some of the guys I think that have been a little bit disappointing for the 49ers this year. All right, definitely not going to be able to get to all of these, but I'll try to get to a couple more quickly here. From Chris, hopefully Sala figures out how to use Thomas, DJ Jones, and get Julian Taylor in there. Forgot about Julian Taylor. Yeah, he was huge in the preseason. Hasn't been able to get on the field. They do have a lot of bodies and a lot of similar bodies there with those big ends. To Layton, who do you think is to blame for the defensive woes? Is it play calling, the inability to address the pass rush in the offseason, the players' lack of tackling, or other? You know, tackling has been really disappointing, and so that's, you got to point to coaching a little bit with that. But at some point, it's up to the players. I think they do have that lack of pass rush. That's not something that Saleh can do. It was Robert Saleh who said he had 11 or 12 calls on defense last year. So they're not going to be super multiple. They've done a few things. I would like to see Chris Kiffin do some more. They brought him in to be a pass rush coordinator. The pass rush hasn't really changed much. I haven't seen anything super interesting with the pass rush or any schemes like that that made me stand up and say, okay, I can see that something's very different here and they're doing all these great things to get after the quarterback. So really it's kind of all of the above there with those things. To Anthony on Twitter, he said, can't see more than 5 wins. At what point is 5-11 actually worse than 3-13? Because 3 wins gets you Bosa and a true pass rusher. Yeah, you're going to get flamed for that, Anthony, because if you start talking about tanking, people get angry. I got some people angry at me for suggesting that, you know, this is about development and not about W's the rest of the year. And I agree with you. It can be. The worst you can be is that team that's 7-9 every year. You get in that never-ending cycle of not getting better and not getting worse, and you're just mediocre. That's a bad place to be. But being really terrible for a long time is also awful. Ask Browns fans what all those high picks have done for them. They might start to see some fruition from some of those things. And you know what? The draft, you think you know, and then you don't know. So some guys get drafted high and they're terrible. Some guys get drafted later and they're steals. I mean, there's a handful of players that I thought were crazy steals that were well beyond the top 10 in this draft. I mean, you could have got Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick and Harold Landry all outside the top 10. That's just the key is not so much record, either good or bad. I mean, if you can compete for a playoff spot, then yes, you go do that. But if you're not in the playoffs, then at that point, you know, record doesn't matter that much. It's nice to have a better draft pick and have that draft capital. It can help. But the key is development. You don't want to ruin development because you're trying to lose games. I just, you know, so truly tanking is just not even an option. It's not a real thing. Development should be the key the rest of the year. That should be the focus more so than wins and losses to me. And let's finish it up with RDC. He said, my reasonable expectation for this year was 8-8 or 9-7. Now I would be happy if we match last year's record. Wow. So yeah, that's pretty much the consensus right now. 5-6 wins. That's pretty much the max that people are expecting. So people are down. People are expecting a big drop after losing Jimmy Garoppolo. And I get it. And the 49ers looked so much better when Jimmy Garoppolo showed up last year over C.J. Beathard. And so if it's that same but in reverse going from Garoppolo to Beathard this year, then the 49ers are definitely going to be in trouble trying to win games the rest of the way. But there's some reason for optimism. There's a rallying point about the 49ers getting behind C.J. Beathard. C.J. Beathard, as I mentioned before, in year two of the offense with a good offensive coach, there are some reasons why he could develop, and we could see a much better C.J. Beathard in year two. And so that has to be the hope, I think, for 49ers right now to salvage something and potentially still make a run at the playoffs this season. 1-2 is what we penciled in to start the year for the 49ers. So they're not off track right now. They're not off course, but it could get off the rails pretty quickly in 2018. All right, I'll be back on Monday with a Rapid React show breaking down everything that happens in Los Angeles with that Week 4 matchup with the Chargers. Find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. Subscribe, rate, review the show, tell a friend, and I'll be back with you guys on Monday right here on Locked On 49ers.